Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgebeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello. It's a pretty rare thing for us to devote an entire episode of What is Going Om to music. But when we do, you can bet there's nothing ordinary or run-of-the-mill about the music and the musicians that we've chosen to feature. Tonight we're going to be talking about and listening to some tracks from the latest album from singer and songwriter Miten, who's celebrated worldwide not only for his work with musical soulmate and mantra star Deva Premal, but in his own right as a composer, producer and creator of inspirational albums that regularly top iTunes and the Amazon charts. Miten, welcome back. It's so good to have you back on this show.
Thanks a lot, Sandy. I'm happy to be back. Actually, I'm happy to be anywhere right now.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, ever since the invention of tape decks, music lovers have been curating their own playlists, music to dance to, have playing in the background while they're working. But I think it's pretty fair to say that few people, if any, have thought of creating a playlist of music to die to. But your new album, Devotee, is in a sense just that.
I had to say to the musicians as we were playing it, they're my band, you know, so they know me well. But I had to say and keep reminding everyone, can you die to this? Can you die as we were playing a piece, you know? So it kept us on a kind of conscious level of empathy and compassion. And so it was it was a very beautiful journey for all of us because of that. And the only reason, I mean, by dying, I also want to make sure that that you guys understand that it's any time we let go into the moment is a little death, you know, and it's a little resurrection. And so it really is music I wanted you to be able to play and just chill out for an hour and let go, you know, just relax into the space and the music and forget the which is what I like to imagine we all do in our concerts, just forget the day-to-day superficial stuff that we all have to deal with to get through the life. But underneath that there's this other world where we inhabit, which we inhabit, and that's the world of, you know, of tears and hopes and wishes and laughter and joy and longing and all those beautiful qualities that come with a spiritual name, but actually they're just human. And so for me it was just like, I just want to make, you know what happened? We were playing one night and we were just coming down at the end of a mantra. And it takes us a while. It's like landing a 747 with the band. You know, it takes a long time when you're to come right down to a silent space. And as we were coming down, I thought to myself, this is the music I want to hear when I'm dying, you know. And I had to laugh because it was me making it. But you know, it is that kind of feeling that I just want to be able to create music that supports that journey of being able to relax into the moment for a while, you know, just take the heat out of our day-to-day travails.
You know, you had open heart surgery in March of 2018, and I spoke to Deva in an interview she and I did at the end of last year about how your own music, the Gayatri Mantra, helped you with, you know, some of the emotional and physical fallout from that. And I wondered that, you know, because you've said about your new solo album, Devotee, that your priority is to express musical excellence without ever losing sight of the basic objective, which is to create support for vulnerable moments in life, mm-hmm. when our defenses are down and our heart is open. And it made me wonder how much of the inspiration for devotee sprang from your own experience of being vulnerable when your heart was quite literally opened.
Yeah. Well, it definitely amped it up. You're right. It definitely brought it all into focus. I feel like, I mean, you know, all the music that I've made in these last, let me think now, almost 40 years now since I first came to Osho. I was a young guy, 30. And I was a songwriter. That was my occupation, my career. And I stopped when I came to Osho because I wanted to cleanse myself and get rid of the identification of being a musician and a songwriter and making music for money. So all this, when I stopped playing, I just chopped the carrots and washed rice in the ashram for many years, and until the music came back naturally, and it came back from a sense of gratitude and a sense of being born out of a silent moment. And so, you know, that's always been my way. And this is how I helped Deva when she started to sing, was to help her to feel the silence before she began to sing, you know. And this was a priority. So that's, I've always felt that music is it comes out of silence, and therefore when it ends and it comes back, the silence that you arrive in is deeper than the one that you left. And that's how we always see our music, as meditation music, you know. But having the heart operation was it actually kind of made me articulate, I want to make some music that would not, if it were used, interrupt that process of moving from our bodies out into the ether. And somehow that was, even though there's words and even though there's joy in that moment too, it doesn't have to be just sad or morose or anything. It's a very auspicious and incredible moment, you know. And so you know, there's some reggae on the album and it's joyful, but it's all focused on can this kind of groove, can you feel that to let go? And of course you can. Reggae is also a very spiritual music. It's born out of the Rastafarian lineage, you know. So that's what I did. I just told the guys, can you die to it? Also, the other thing about the album is I started, I revisited electric guitar, and I haven't played electric guitar for years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
But that was a whole different palette we had as a band. Suddenly the acoustic is it's a very strong instrument, and I wanted to disappear more into the whole rather than being leading with the acoustic. And so with electric, it gives everybody more space. And so, you know, the album, when you hear it, Sandy, is like more or less played live in the studio. So we had a great sound, and we would just open the song and let it ride, and just to see where it would go, you know. So it's a different way of playing the music than having a structure. Usually you have a structure with a song, you know, especially when you record, you know what's coming next, and you know that you make some kind of routine, you know. But I didn't do that. I just left it to existence and to the expertise and technique of the musicians, who were all super hot guys. They're all my friends, and they're on the road with us. They know Dave and me. They know the whole score, so they could support me in that. And we were all on a new journey, because it was a new music we were making with the electric guitar. So it's coming to a very open space, the album, and especially on the opening track, Eyes Ocean. you get the real floaty, but with a subtle groove all the way through, you know, but something to relax and just flow with.
Yeah. What's the significance of the title devotee? Why did you choose that word?
Well, the way I understand, you know, my story is that basically at 30 years old, I threw up whatever life I'd been living and came upon an Indian mystic and lived basically with him ever since. And that was Osho. And over those years, the way I understand the difference between disciple, which I think is a very misunderstood concept in the West. You know, it's usually the idea is slave-master kind of relationship, but a relationship between a disciple and a guru is very much mystical. It's not follower-leader, leader-follower. It's not what people think it is. It's very much a mysterious thing that happens between a disciple and a guru. And the way I've come to understand this, and again, I'm not a great scholar, but what I understand is a devotee is when you move beyond any kind of label, like disciple, master. And devotee it goes into a cosmic realm, you know, and I realize that I am a devotee of life. And I think that was what I was trying to say, that I'm a devotee to this mysterious unfolding that I find myself in. And music itself has become my teacher, has become my living guru. You know, I see music as an alive spirit, something that exists in all of us, in all across the planet. It is a benevolent spirit, and it can easily be abused and misunderstood. But at the same time, it's such a strong spirit that any expression of it benefits something, even if it's music that is not harmonious or aggressive or violent, whatever. It's music that it's you have the experience and the luxury to be able to express yourself with that angry music, or with this ugly music, or with this discordant music, or whatever. It's all part of it's a dewdrop in the ocean of music. And so for me, I felt like I became somebody at the door.
We'll just ignore that.
Well, you know, that's really a devotee sound right there.
Yeah, different kind of music.
Yeah, well, he's also protecting you by the sound of it.
Yes.
Or,
yes. Yeah.
So a devotee, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. You know, there's 9 songs on this album, and I had a hard task trying to choose 3 that we could play, one in each segment. I liked them all. But the one that I've chosen to play is Rhythm of the Heart. So let's have a listen to that, and then after the break you can tell me a little bit about the inspiration for that song. So mm-hmm. We're now going to play Rhythm of the Heart, or at least part of it, because it is quite long.
I can still remember the first time our eyes met. It was you and me, and the mystery It's a time I will never forget. And in one timeless frozen moment that remains to this day, you looked into me and I could see there was nothing in my way. It was the rhythm of the heart. It was the fire shining through. And I'm dancing to that rhythm, no matter what I do. It's the rhythm of the heart. And there's only me and you dancing to the rhythm of the heart. Now in one sense that time is over, your body is long gone, but the love we shared is still alive, and that's what leads me on. I don't need to believe in love, I can feel and I see it's right here. You give me back my innocence and the will to disappear into the rhythm of the heart, into the fire shining through, and I'm dancing to that rhythm, no matter what I do. It's the rhythm of the heart, and there's only me and you dancing to the rhythm of the heart.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America and all your problems are done, they don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Meeting, what was the inspiration behind that song, Rhythm of the Heart?
Well, it's a love song, Sandy, really. You know, it's just a love song. And, it's not today, but no, because it's actually... there's a verse in there that says your body is long gone, and And the love that we shared is still alive, and that's what leads me on. And so now David's very much in the body. She's very much in the body and present. But it's a love story. And it's also, you know, again, the heart is such a mystery, and the understanding of what it is to be in the rhythm of the heart. And again, it's, for me, it's kind of the understanding that, you know, the heart is a wild card. It's not, it's love, you know, and so it's way bigger than our minds and way bigger than us. And we try to manipulate love and manipulate relationships or anything like that. You know, that's, you come to see that, we're just a tiny speck compared with the power of love. And once you let go into love, then you have to expect the unexpected, because you just never know. Love is wild. So there's a mystery, and there's a rhythm that I like to feel. That rhythm for me is it's the root, really. You know, I always tell my friends and my younger friends who have kids, you know, make sure they help them with rhythm. That's as important as speaking. Help them to make sure that they can feel where the one drop and the two and the three and the four. It, you know, it's just very simple at the start, but it helps children to be grounded in their own presence and their own energy, you know. So, yeah, rhythm of the heart.
All the songs on Devotee are quite long. I mean, they range from 4 minutes to 9 minutes. Why is that?
I don't know. Just because you can, you know. I mean, I don't think in terms of the radio or anything, you know, really, Sandy. So I'm very grateful that you enjoy the music and that you play little excerpts from it. I'm very honored that you do that, you know. But it's not my intention when I go into the studio to make, 3 minute songs or something like that. I just like to let them roll and see, you know. One of the things about making music, and I found that in the albums that I've done with Deva and produced, and it's that there's something about repetition and not following a specific structure that it leads to unusual listening, because not many music does that. Most music, you know, you're pretty much in somebody's arranged understanding of what they want of a piece of music, whereas I like, you know, I had the opportunity here to to trust that there was, to feel the groove of the musicians, and then knowing that if you're just listening casually, you'll be going, oh, this is boring, nothing's happening. But if you're listening intently, you feel, oh, there's this space happening, and they're having a conversation, and there's nothing much going on, but I can still move my body to it, and it's really nice. And then the music will, then the voices will come back, or something will happen, and to bring you back into the attention of the music. And you don't really have that luxury very often in music and in listening music. And I just felt, yeah, that's what I like to do. And I learned that with Deva, because when she started to chant the Gayatri Mantra back in 1996 or something, when we first Deva rediscovered it, you know, she was born to the Gayatri Mantra, and the Gayatri Mantra gave me as a musician the possibility to enjoy a different landscape, a different palette. There was no preordained idea of what the music should be. Nobody was making mantra music back then. Only Krishna Das made a CD, and Jayutal had made one, and Deva and I put the essence out, and that was the first time we felt like, oh, you just sing it. You don't worry if it gets boring. It's not It doesn't matter. It's not about that. It's just about giving the person who's receiving it space to just have it there and relax, you know. And so that's that. I learned that lesson when I put the chords to the Gayatri Mantra and started to record that. And on the essence, it was a thing that Deva and I coined a phrase. We used to say to each other, trust the chant. So we would just sing it for 10 minutes or whatever, you know. And yeah, you get bored. But then when your attention returns, you realize, oh, they're still playing it. They're still there with it. And so you have this possibility to go into a deeper space psychically and spiritually with the music that does that. So that's why, that's what I like to do. And, you know, I when I started to make this music, which was like, you know, Deva and I have been together 30 years. Next year will be 30 years together. And when we started, I promised myself, okay, we're playing this music for meditation. We're playing it for meditators in the ashram, and then we took it out of the ashram and we left. When we left, eventually we left India and came back to Europe after many years there. And the music that we made when we were playing in these small meditation centers was the same. It was just there for the meditation. And then people would say, would you come back? And we'd go back, and then the place would be fuller than it was before. And then it would be full, and it would, for us, it was no different. We would play it the same way. We would just look for the silence and look for the depth of silence that the music that we were making, you know, created. And that's what me and David did. And we still do the same thing. It's just now we have really super musicians whose priority it's always been to express themselves very strongly. And so and now they're learning to express themselves with that same intent, but in this different landscape where you can be silent with the music and you really hear people are really listening. It's not a bar or a club or something. You're just taking everybody with you. So it's a great gift for these musicians that Deva and I and Manoj have supporting us. And really, you can hear it in this music and the album. They're just great musicians, very sensitive.
Well, I love the fact that they are so long. As you say, I mean, you really do get an opportunity to travel with the music. And it also highlights the difference between, you know, so much music is put out purely to make money. I mean, I remember the scene in the movie Bohemian Rhapsody when the record company say they can't possibly put Bohemian Rhapsody out, you know, as the song because of the length of it. And look what Freddie Mercury did when they did put it out. Everybody, it got everybody's attention. And, you know, that just is proof that, No, I really enjoy the fact that they are so long. I was just curious. I was just, you know, thinking that you probably did it simply because you could and you were enjoying it. And why should you stop?
Yeah, exactly. I just promised myself, you know, no record company is going to tell me what to do anymore. No manager is going to tell me what I should put on the cover. It's just Deva and me, and we'll just do it, you know, our way. We've just always put out our own music. Whatever money comes, it goes back into the whole thing. And it just we just let that whole thing circulate, you know.
Yeah.
I feel it's the best way.
And I think, you know, your audience knows that. And that's why people gravitate to you.
I think so, you know.
Sorry, go on.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I think so, because, you know, our audiences have seen me and Deva playing alone. And then 13 years ago, they saw, because really our audiences go back that far. And 13 years ago, they saw Manoj join us. And now they've seen us with the band, you know, and it's all just for the real expertise and the love of music and the wanting to to create the most beautiful space that I can, you know, for everyone. And
very
for myself,
organic.
Of course.
Yeah, very organic.
And very organic, yeah. It has to be organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No performance. There's no performance. When people say to me, oh, when's your next show? I say, we don't do shows. We don't do shows, you know. It's not exactly what we do, you know. Because we don't perform and we don't rehearse to make a performance. It's very organic, like you say, Sandy. So, yeah, that's it.
You mentioned at the beginning the album begins with Eyes Ocean, which is described as an expansive meditative journey. This one actually features Deva herself in a rare guest role. Is there a reason that she doesn't sing on many of your songs, many of your albums?
There's no reason, really. There is a reason, yeah, there is a reason. You have to know Deva. When we started to sing together in the ashram, Deva was still she still had her German accent quite strong, you know, and she was very shy, and she would sing second voice to me. I was the kind of lead guy back then when we started, because everybody knew me from the ashram and they didn't know David. David was just, she wasn't a musician and she wasn't known as a musician. She was actually a body worker. She was a masseuse and reflexology and different things that she was focused on in the ashram. And, basically, what happened was that when Deva found her voice, which was much later when she rediscovered the Gayatri Mantra, and suddenly she was singing in this language that didn't require her to sing in a certain way, or, you know, like when you're singing my songs, then when you sing, you need to sound the same, you know, it's a certain genre, let's say. Mm-hmm. And Deva's German accent, she had to work at fitting it in there with my English words. And but when she discovered the Gayatri Mantra, suddenly she was free. She was singing in Sanskrit. And Sanskrit is not only an ancient language, but it's a very strong language. And she just totally resonated with it. Her father had been chanting to her since birth, and you know, and she was very familiar with Sanskrit, and not the language itself. It's very difficult to learn. It's a bit like Latin or something. It's not used anymore, you know. Yeah. But it's a spiritual language, and but she was comfortable with it. She, you know, there are moments in my songs, and, you know, where I make space so that she can be heard and enjoyed in her natural habitat, you know. And this is one of those songs, you know. She does sing on many of my songs, actually, but she's not featured as she, this one she, but also I have to say on this one, Eyes Ocean, who is featured is Manoj with his beautiful, Indian rag singing that he does on the album and on this track, and also his beautiful bansuri that he plays, an Indian bamboo flute. It's really great on this one.
So we're going to play now All the Way, which is the finale song on the album, you can tell us about that after the break.
Mm-hmm. Let the past hang on your shoulder.
days are filled with shadows, even if today refuse to shine, we can tell ourselves that nothing really matters, but still we can't deny that after all is said and done, in the end it's love that leads us on. So when the cold wind blows and the oceans roar and the God of love is knocking down your door, and your mind says no, but your heart says, carry me away, you better follow your heart, love will take us all the way, all the way. Whatever that means, all the way, wherever it leads. So when the cold wind blows and the oceans roar and the God of fear is knocking at your door, and your heart says yes, but your mind says not today, listen to your heart, love will take us all the way.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Meeting, what do you feel when you listen to a piece of your own music, as we just did?
I'm so close to it now, you know. Sandy, that I think what I look for in music is where it's made from and what the intention is, you know, and I look for that, and that can be in jazz or blues or whatever. If there's a sense of redemption and 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 humility in there, you know. And so, you know, I can still just go to Stevie Wonder, you know, those albums that he made in the 70s, they do it for me. There were such great artists at that time in the 70s that you know, whose work has really, really sustained. People like Paul Simon, the albums he was making back then, and you know, all those great songwriters, Neil Young and Bob Dylan in the 70s was recording albums like Blood on the Tracks, you know, it's an incredible, incredible time. And so when I listen to myself, which I don't do very often, but like since my heart operation, I also got a slip disc. And so what I have to do every morning is to walk for an hour. And so I take my phone and put my headphones on, and I just at least an hour of walking. And that's when I have time to listen to music. And because Devotee is, we've just finished it, I'm very much enjoying walking around the woodlands around here where David and I are staying. And, you know, to my music. And I think that's something that, it's you can hear me. I'm kind of speechless because what as a musician, there's nothing better than feeling that your music is being appreciated, not just on a normal level, but you know, people tell us, oh, my kids, we gave birth to my kids, you know, with your music, so much magnificence, hallelujah, the Gayatri Mantra. And all this. And so Dave and I have received, you know, Ashes to Ashes, that song that you wrote. That's what I played that for my father at his funeral, and we were all crying, and it was so beautiful. And so I've found a kind of a place where I feel comfortable to put music out that I know is going to be used for very auspicious moments in people's lives. And I never really used it myself consciously for that, like until I had my heart operation, and my body was in a traumatic state. You know, my mind was okay because, you know, you go out and you don't know, you come back and that's it. But it wasn't until about a week or so afterwards when I realized my body is just not allowing me to sleep. It's just freaked out to the max, you know, that every time I go to fall asleep, my body just says no, you know, I can't, I don't know what's going to happen. And so I had about a period where I had to deal with the trauma, and I did that through very cathartic procedures that I'd learned in my time with Osho and in the ashram, and doing different meditations that he'd given us to help us to eliminate emotional stress from the body. So I did a lot of shaking and trembling. I used to wrap myself up and tremble and shake for hours, and I could feel that it was releasing all this trauma from the body. It was a beautiful thing. And during that process, I had one night when I was just all night, really, it felt like a peak or of just letting go of my, it was doing lots of crying and lots of howling, you know. It was just really intense, and David was just holding the space for me. And then towards dawn, I said to David, because I realized I needed something now. I was coming down. And I asked, I said to David, put the seven chakra Gayatri mantra on that we just recorded. And because I realized I need my own medicine now, this is the time. So we just, David put the Gayatri mantra on, and we lay down on the bed together, and we just cuddled up and fell asleep with this beautiful music, just, bathing us. It was almost like it was a perfume in the room, and we fell asleep, and we woke up the next morning, the sun was shining, coming through the window, and it felt like, oh, I'm reborn. That was the rebirth. That was the whole thing that happened in that time. And so, you know, I know that the music is powerful, but I never used it in that context until that moment. And then it was an incredible moment. So I'm very grateful that somehow I've been given the job, you know, to make such music and to support Deva with a beautiful voice in the way that, and Deva's a great example of humility and intent. She doesn't consider herself a great singer or anything like that, certainly not a musician, but she has such a gift that, and it's pure, so she doesn't, I used to say to her, Sandy, you have to do some singing lessons, you know, your voice is pregnant, you know. But whenever she tried to do singing lessons, it just never was integrated. She just couldn't, it just didn't interest her. And all this while, her voice, instead of being extended on a technical level, it's just gone on a spiritual level, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. There's no interruption, you know. So you can really feel that in her voice. So, you know, that for me is a great honor and what a gift for a musician to be able to support Deva Premal. You know, it's amazing for me to be able to have given her that gift and that possibility, that, you know, to learn how to sing on a microphone, how to do all this, you know. And she's over the years, she's just become an incredible carrier of a vehicle for these sacred moments in life. It's very beautiful for me.
And I love the fact that, you know, as you had your heart surgery and then you went on tour, within a very short time afterwards, you were also presenting your live Facebook event series on the medicine of mantra. And you got to experience that medicine for yourself. I mean, you know, you give it out and it comes back to you. Isn't that perfect?
That's absolutely perfect. And that 21-day meditation that we did, the meditation every day for 21 days, that was incredible for Deva and I. Every day we would take a candle in the evening and sit together, and we would decide what mantra we were going to talk about. And we did it very spontaneously. We just sat there and we would talk, and then we would chant it, and we put it out online, and we had 200,000 people registered to do that with us. It made us realize, wow, you know, there is hope.
Yes.
Not that I've got much hope for the planet and, well, humanity anyway, and the way we're destroying everything, but it seems to be our karma to do this, so everything is okay. What to do?
On Devotee features 9 songs, 7 of which I think were written by you. One of the 2 songs that you didn't write was a big hit back in 1978 when it was released by Boney M. And I'm talking, of course, about Rivers of Babylon, which, you know, I initially chose a different song for the third segment, but something pulled me back to that one. I want us to play it now before we get to the end of the show, because I want to ask you about that song afterwards. So let's play Rivers of Babylon now.
We could do by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. The wicked
us away. Captivity require from us a song. How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land?
I love that version so much more than I ever enjoyed Boney M. It feels so appropriate the way you've approached it. And the other reason I love it is because you get the sense, you know, with the way that you've recorded it there, of actually being in the studio with you as you're recording it. But we are almost out of time, and I have two very important questions for you before we leave. So the answers are going to have to be very short, I'm afraid. First, okay. Why did you choose that for this album?
I love the song, and it's funny when you ask me to speak fast and I can't think and my brain stops. But
you loved it is enough.
I loved it, you know, and it actually, I knew it from a previous, before Boney M. ruined it, there was a great reggae version of it, you know, and by the people who wrote it. It's actually a psalm. It's from the Bible.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so last question, Meeten. Of all the songs on this album, if you had to select just one to play as you lay dying, which one would it be?
Well, I think it would. I think it would be "Bring Me Your Love."
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. And I'm sorry we didn't have time to play it, but I'm sure if people go over to your website, they may be able to listen to a little clip from it. Yeah. Meeten, it is always a joy to speak with you, and I always end feeling like we haven't spoken for long enough, but I'm sure from your end we've certainly spoken long enough, because I know you've been traveling a lot. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, well, a Well, thank you so much, Sandy. I wish you all the best. Take care of yourself. See you again, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thank you for joining me today. If you want to know more about me, Tin, and Deva Primal's work, tours, recording, and more, visit DevaPrimalMeeting.com, and I'll be with you again at the same time next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me.